31. Declan remembered the worst dream he'd ever had. It was his last year at Aglenby. He was passing his classes. He had dragged Ronan through his classes with the help of Ronan's friend Gansey. He had bought Christmas gifts for Matthew. He had his internships lined up and the move planned to the townhouse his dead father had left him. He had done the math on the money left in the will, and had worked out how much he needed to make and how much he was allowed to spend each year in order to continue to live in the way he thought would be all right to live. He was dating a girl named Ashley, after breaking up with a girl named Ashley. Ashley was thinking of going to school in D.C. to be closer to him. Declan was eyeing a less attentive Ashley to replace her. He was doing his best to keep the noose of malevolent business associates his father had made for them from tightening before he graduated. That was not the worst dream. That was the waking world. The worst dream was this. It was nearly Christmas. There was frost on the colorless grass around the farmhouse at the barns. Neil had just come back from a December business trip, and now he was presenting gifts to his sons, just as he did in real life. He gave Matthew a puppy that was only alive when Matthew was holding it. "I'm never gonna put it down," declared Dream Matthew. He gave Ronan a textbook with no words in it. "My favorite kind," Ronan had said. He gave Declan a box, and in the box was the ability to dream things into life. "Your mother said you'd been asking for this," Neil told him. Declan woke with a rush of electric adrenaline. Horror pulsed in time with his heart. He looked around in dread, but his dorm room was just as he'd left it when he slept. There was nothing in it that hadn't been carried with ordinary human hands, that hadn't been crafted with ordinary human labor. There were no miracles or wonders, just his unmagical room with the things he needed for his unmagical life. He had never been so relieved. Declan was looking at El Haleo. He was standing there, arms crossed, head tilted to one side, studying it. A little closer than he would normally be. No, a lot closer than he would normally be. He had stepped over the chain that ordinarily warned museum-goers to stay out of the alcove, and he was close enough to see the ridges on brushstrokes, to smell the oldness of all the paint in the closed-in space. It felt quite illicit, and he couldn't imagine what had come over him. This close, everything looked a little different than he remembered. It took him a moment to realize that some of his disorientation was not because of proximity. It was because the museum was dark. The dancer was lit only by a dim security light that came through the window to the right of the painting and reflected off the mirror to the left of it. The museum was also silent. The small, close building was never noisy, but right then, it lacked even the murmur of distant people in other rooms, the sound of life. Breath held, or breath gone. Tomb-like. He didn't know how he'd gotten here. Declan looked down at himself. He was dressed in the same clothing he'd been in when he'd left Jordan's. Jacket, loosened tie. Same clothing that Declan in the portrait had been wearing. Same clothing that Declan who'd kissed Jordan had been wearing. He remembered returning to the apartment, didn't he? It was possible he was simply remembering other times he had, and all those memories had stacked up to disguise that he was missing one. This was dream logic, not waking logic. He felt awake. He was awake, surely, but... "Neat trick, right?" Ronan asked. The middle Lynch brother leaned casually in the entrance from the courtyard, shoulder against the doorframe, arms crossed, watching him. He had changed since Declan had seen him. Not taller, because Ronan had already been tall, but bigger, somehow. Older. He hadn't shaved in a few days, and he had grizzle that instantly aged him. He was no boy. No student. He was a young man. "Ronan," Declan said. He couldn't think of what else to say, how to say it, and so he just shoved everything he wanted to say into that one word. Ronan. Ronan said, "The guard will be dazed for a while. The cameras are dazed, too. It's pretty slick. I tried to get him to name it something. The Bedazzler. All caps, but he's not that sort. What do you want to see here? You can see anything, touch anything. No one will know." Declan was badly disoriented. "I don't understand." Bride stepped into the room. He was a neat figure, controlled. Declan instantly recognized the posture. Not ego, beyond ego. A man who knew precisely what his boundaries were and operated so thoroughly within them that he was untouchable and knew it. He did not have to lift a fist, raise his voice. He was a kind of powerful that other powerful people respected. He held a small silver orb in between finger and thumb. "It's quite expensive," he said, studying it. "Requires good lay energy, good dream, perfect focus. Razor focus, really. You have to hold what it means to be human in your head, because you don't want to take that from them. These little baubles have to go off and send the mind in all directions, but keep those pieces close enough to gather back. There is no point in a treat if it's all trick. You may as well shoot someone if you aren't going to put their minds back. A butcher ruins. A dreamer nudges." Declan found himself feeling precisely the same sensation as he had after his worst dream. He longed to wake up back in the apartment and find everything ordinary and correct around him. "I don't trust Bride," Adam had said. And how could he? Look at him. Listen to him. Feel what he could do. Declan remembered nothing about getting here. Bride had taken it from him. Declan took two steps back, putting himself on the proper side of the chain, protecting El Haleo. Immediately he felt better, giving the painting its space once more. Bride pocketed the orb and told Ronan, "I let Hennessy think she stole one, so we've got just this one left. So be efficient." "Where is she?" Declan asked. "Hennessy, I mean. Is she here?" "She's going to see Jordan," Ronan said, and Declan felt a little pang of uncertainty in his gut. "To Bride," Ronan said. "She was pretty wound up. Do we know that..." "She'll be back," Bride said with absolute certainty. "She knows where she belongs. Go on. Eye on the clock. This won't last forever." He pulled back into the dim courtyard, disappearing among the complicated black shadows of the tropical palms and flowers. Declan found himself alone with his brother, experiencing the impression of privacy, if not the reality. He had not seen him since they'd parted on the banks of the Potomac River, and he realized that part of him had been preparing itself for the idea that he might never see him again. It was a worry that he hadn't fully felt until now, that the danger of it had passed and he found his knees wobbly with relief. Ronan, his family, his brother. Older, stranger, but still obviously Ronan. "You heard him," Ronan said. "What room have you always wanted to go into? What other rope have you always wanted to step over?" Declan didn't fancy touring the museum under these circumstances, but he wanted some space from Bride to talk to Ronan, so he walked with his brother through the eerie, quiet building. They found themselves standing in the Dutch room, the green wallpaper looking black in the dim. Two empty frames hung on the wall in front of them, one for each of the brothers. "What's the deal here?" Ronan asked. "I was about to ask the same." "The empty frames?" Any other time, Declan would have had the whole story at the ready, but tonight he simply said, "They were stolen, 20 years ago, 30 maybe. It's been a vigil since then. This whole place was made by a woman who wanted it to stay the same even after her death. So after the paintings were stolen out of the frames, the museum hung the frames back on the walls to wait until the..." "Do you care about this?" "You don't care about this, Ronan. I've been hearing the news. What are you doing?" "Sounds like you already know." I'm worried, Declan said, following Ronan as he began to walk again. Don't forget there's a real world you want to come back to. The point was to get to a place you could do that.
Was it?
Don't do that. I remember what we talked about. Don't pretend it was me telling you how to live. Adam. You wanted Adam.
Adam,
Ronan said slowly, as if remembering, as if he were a man enchanted himself, and Declan realized he did not know any of the things Bride could or couldn't do with his dreams. Perhaps this was not even Ronan at all. Perhaps this was a Ronan. No, he was not going to let himself even picture it. That was the way to absolute madness. The barns, Declan added, voice terse. You told me you wanted to be a farmer. Ronan's mouth slid to a grin, surprising Declan thoroughly. You remember that. And now Declan himself was confused because he didn't think Ronan looked nearly as enchanted as he had thought he did a moment before. Now he looked sharp and alive, eyes bright and mirthful.
This isn't about me. It's about people like me. It's not about Matthew. It's about people like Matthew. They don't get to live, but they will. Is that really all this meeting is about? I thought Matthew was having a meltdown. I thought you needed weapons. I thought you needed dreams to build your empire. Cash, cars, girls.
It's a family meeting to make sure you know where you're going to be in 3 years, Declan said. Long-term goals.
Oh, God, it was a meeting for Declanisms? The more things change, blah-de-fucking-la.
What is your plan doing for other people? Are you breaking the world?
Ronan laughed merrily. I hope so.
He had led them back around to the Spanish cloister. Declan did not generally think of Ronan as a particularly timely person, but Bride had told him to be efficient, and he'd been efficient. He had brought Declan right back here without Declan even thinking about how they were being led back here. It was a very dream thing to do. It was a very adult, strategic thing to do. Bride waited in front of El Jaleo, his hands tucked in his pockets, eyes in shadow. His voice was a little knowing. You could take anything from here, right now. You could take this painting to hang in your living room and never have to worry about your brother Matthew again. It had already occurred to Declan that anybody with that impossible dream orb of Bride's could steal anything they liked from this place, do anything they liked. Declan had heard Bride's hidden threat earlier. The entirety of Declan's memories could have been destroyed for good by an unkindly dreamer. Declan's hands felt a little shaky. This museum's already had enough taken from it, Declan said. Even if I didn't care about that, I don't want to walk around with a target on my back. And it fixes very little, as I'm sure you've already considered. Matthew can't wrap that painting around himself and have a normal life. Rob from this place, and for what? A prison of my apartment? Good, said Bride. So you understand what we're doing, then. You want Matthew to live like anyone else. So do we. Declan said. You could do this without Ronan. No, Bride murmured. I could not. There was a sound from somewhere within the museum. Not an alarm, not yet, but movement. Bride looked up sharply. To Ronan he said, We are nearly out of time. I'll need to use this last one here, and I won't be able to get another one until I am out of the city. It's too loud here. Declan couldn't think of what to say. He had thought the conversation was going to come around in his favor, but he was the one going round and round instead. All he could think to blurt to Ronan was, You should see Matthew before you leave Boston, in case...
Yeah, you're right, said Ronan,
but he glanced to Bride to confirm. It was only after Bride nodded imperceptibly that Ronan repeated with certainty,
Right.
Bride owned his brother. Completely.